You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Colette Kemp. We talk about how watching her dad go through a tough life transition inspired her to make some changes in her life. And I think this is an interesting story, partly because a lot of us probably have a mix of these experiences. Some things we need to experience for ourselves, and other times we can learn by witnessing things that happen to other people we care about. We do also talk a little bit about luxury yachts because you just kind of never know exactly where the conversation is going to go. So that's fun. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do it. Colette Kemp, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Hi, nice to be here, Amy.
I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am, most definitely.
All right, let's do it. I start every interview pretty much by asking people what part of the world they call home. So share with us where you are these days.
Okay, so I am originally from London, England, and I moved to South Florida for about 15 years. And I recently just moved to the Mid-Atlantic region of Virginia to be closer to family and to escape the hurricanes.
I feel that. What part of South Florida were you in?
In the Fort Lauderdale area, so just north of Miami.
That, do you know that's where I am? I'm in Miami.
I did not know that.
Yes, indeed. Ah. That is where I call home. So I'm sympathetic to the avoiding of the hurricanes. I think the ideal plan is to have a place for hurricane season and not hurricane season.
That's right. But we did just get a taste of our first winter. And I guess it was a little colder than usual, but it's mild up here. It's pretty forgiving.
Very nice. I'll check back on you a few years from now. No.
Yeah.
All right. I do love to learn a little bit about people's personal background before we dive into the topic of the day. So if you'd like to share with us a little bit about your life outside of work, outside of what we're going to talk about in the interview, but you know, you can share like maybe anything about a hobby or the names of your pets, anything, something fun to get to know you.
Okay. So my fun stuff is that, so I'm married. I have a 21-year-old stepdaughter who's lovely. We actually have a great relationship, so I don't fit the wicked stepmom role. And she and I together, we have a collective interest of rescuing animals. So we have four dogs, and up here now we're up to 9 horses. So we've been fostering and rescuing and involved in that. So
that's fantastic.
We have Mustangs, actually, other horses.
Do you have like sort of a ranch set up at your house, or do you rent stables in somebody else's?
Yeah, so when we moved here to Virginia, we bought my in-laws' house because they are boomers and they needed to downsize, and they have 37 acres. We're in kind of a rural area on the North Carolina border, and we have a kind of a horse ranch set up, and then they had some animals here. They had what do they have? A llama, some goats. And so that's my inheritance. They've given me that already. And
a
yeah,
llama.
A llama. And the llama came with the house, so it was a bonus.
What did the llama have a name?
So she didn't have a name, but we call her Dolly. So
Dolly.
She's Dolly, Dolly Llama, which is cheesy.
Oh, I love it. Okay. I didn't get it. I
you didn't catch
get it,
until
it. Until you said it. I do love it. The Dalai Llama. That's fantastic. Okay. Now, shifting from the Dalai Lama directly into the topic of the day, you propose the topic of talking about how watching your dad close a business and how that impacted your life and helped you make some changes. Does that sound like something you want to talk about today?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, very good. All right, let's start with this. Do you want to share with us a little bit about the type of business your dad had? He apparently owned it for 30 years. So tell us a little bit about what he built.
Yeah, so he had a beautiful high-end boutique jewelry store in coastal Maine, which is a beautiful part of the country. And he came over here at the age of 40. He had married an American woman in London, and they came over here because she wanted to get out of London and go back to Maine. And they built this beautiful boutique store. It was on the main street in a lovely little town that was growing, and they grew it up to a decent sized business. And they also purchased a building So they had a nice building on Main Street, a beautiful store. And the nice thing about their business was that they're in an area that is a lot of second homers, but then they also have, the lobstermen and the tradespeople. So they became like the go-to place for Mother's Day gifts and Valentine's presents for wives. And they designed engagement rings and wedding rings for people. So they were kind of part of the memories of all these different people in the community. So it was pretty special.
That's fantastic. So when you pitched this story, I will tell you that I did not know what the time frame would be. So this was a second career for your dad because he did this, he included an international move. All right, very good. Okay, so now before, one thing I want to mention is that this is an interesting story to tell because part of this is your dad's story, and then another part is your story as we tell it. So I want to be sensitive to the fact that you are partially telling somebody else's story, which is sometimes tricky.
Yes, and it's from, yes, and so this, to clarify, this is from my perspective and being able to observe. So I'm not as up close to it as my father was. So I took some pretty insightful observations that maybe would be helpful for other people.
Yeah, and for you. So this was not something that you grew up with. You were already an adult when he started this business.
That's right. So this was a second career for both he and his wife. His wife was a serial entrepreneur. She had had other businesses that she had sold. And yes, so when they came over here, I came shortly after them. So we all kind of emigrated at the same time. And he started his business and I kind of followed in their footsteps and I did a similar type of thing in Florida. I started a business a little bit after
Okay,
them.
so you were also an entrepreneur already because I was going to ask you about your background. What did you study? What did you do? But you opened, was it also a retail store or was it a service-based business?
So it was a service-based business. So I had moved to Florida. I'd chosen to move there in America because I was a stewardess on private yachts.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of really the only place that you would go if you were doing that type of work. For my first 8 years in Florida, I traveled a lot, but then I met somebody who was an engineer and we started a service business in Florida. And then we did what's called in the world of yachting, we came ashore.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you were, yeah, that is for people who are not familiar with the business, the maritime business in South Florida,
It's
that
huge.
charter business and the private yachting business is a whole thing really based out of really, I think, Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it includes Miami, but most of the boat show now is in Fort
That's
Lauderdale
right.
and the marinas. I think that it's a unique thing. So you did a lot of when you did chartering in Florida, were you doing a lot of work around the Caribbean and up and down the East Coast and things like that, or more exotic locations? What's the most exotic location you ever got to steward, be a stewardess on a private yacht?
Oh, I had some good ones. So I traveled a lot in Europe. So I was very lucky because I had a green card. I could work on US flag boats. So I got to work in the Caribbean. I got to work in Europe. I got to do new, not New England. I got to do Sag Harbor and Nantucket,
Yeah.
that type of area. But I did have one of my last charter guests was Barbara Walters. So that was a pretty
Wow.
special one. Yeah, with Lord and Lady de Rothschild. She was their guest. So that was
That is
pretty
fantastic. That is very, very fun. When I was younger and in Florida, we would hop over before they built the resort on Bimini, we would hop over there and people would send their boats. The people would send their boats over and then fly over. And so if you got there before the boat owners, we would hang out with the charter crew and get into trouble. That's what life growing up in Florida is like. Okay, so so you did not work with your dad in this business, his jewelry business.
No, I did not. No.
You were in your own business. And
Yeah.
then, so you were in Florida and he was in Maine and you were doing this. He'd been running this business for 30 years, second business. So he was not young when he did this. Did he come to you and was he talking to you about the fact that they were going to close this down? And what were your initial thoughts about what he was planning?
No, so they did not consult me, and I've talked to a couple of people about this since. And I have a friend who she's a boomer, she's baby boomer, and I was mentioning to her that I wish they would have consulted me, and she told me, well, we really won't listen to our children anyway. So I think for them, this was, they weren't going to ask me for my advice. And at that time, actually, at the time when they had made the decision to close the business, I now have a boutique business brokerage firm, but I was training under another broker because you have to spend a little bit of time apprenticing with somebody else. So this was all kind of happening at the same time where they made the decision, and then post closing, I had a lot more experience and insight that could have been more valuable for them, but they didn't reach out and ask me at the time.
And do you have any idea, and this is you speculating on the actions of your dad, which you may or may not know, but how long did he plan this, and how much planning did he put into this? Like, had he, because, and here's the thing that makes me ask this, because not every business owner writes a business plan because they're pretty dry and boring, right? But like many, many years ago, I was writing something for a grant and they asked for a business plan. So not knowing how to do that, I went and got like from the SBA, and like a part of that business plan was exit strategy. So, which I was totally in startup mode. So I was like, I don't know, this is going to work forever. So I don't need to know that. But I was wondering, and when we talk about this with your dad, if you have any idea whether or not he had put some thought into it and for how long, how he wanted to get out.
They did not. And to your point, this is definitely one of the areas that has the least amount of planning. I think people plan more when they start a business, even if it's just in their thought process. They had decided, I know that his wife had wanted to travel. She had wanted to be able to have the freedom because they were tied to the business, right?
Yep.
That for 30 years. So as far as their planning, I think it was really, she was driving the decision. She was more driven to retire and had a belief that the only way to do that would be to wind down and close because it was just the two of them. It was a mom and pop shop. So collectively they came to the decision that there was really nothing to sell,
Okay.
which in my opinion isn't true. But I think just, if they would have known somebody else that could have given them this advice, someone in their peer group, they probably would have listened. But I think coming from your child, it's tough, right? Like, what do you know?
Maybe, yeah, I definitely, at least for sure in your experience. So what other people experience, I have no idea, but it definitely sounds like that was what
Could be
was going
different.
on here. So they came to the conclusion that what they were going to do was just close it up and sell the building. Is that that was the plan?
Yes. So initially they decided they would close the business. So that meant having a, and they, there was a really sweet write-up in a local paper that announced their retirement. So it was, in their mind, it was a positive thing. They were going to close, they were retiring. So they started selling off the inventory. And then, yes, they had planned to also sell the building once they had closed the business.
And so you told me that this didn't work out the way they thought it was. What would you say, and this is speculation on your part, or maybe you guys talked about it actually. What were your dad's thoughts about how this would work and why it would be a good thing? And then what happened in actuality? How did it not go the way they thought?
Okay, so what they thought would happen was they would wind down the business and close. And they did, I mean, they did well. Financially, there were no struggles financially. So they were able to sell off their inventory and have all these great, retirement sales and things like that. And they had events in the business. But what they had hoped would happen is that they would close the business, sell the building, and then go off and do some traveling. But what actually ended up happening, and I got to talk to my father a lot for the first 6 months after they closed, what actually ended up happening was they did close the business successfully, but they didn't plan beyond that.
Okay.
So that's where it was like, well, okay, well, we said we were going to travel, but where and when? And so I think I had listened, Amy, to I'm not a fan or anything, but there's a gentleman called Dave Ramsey, and he was
Sure.
giving some advice on YouTube. Someone had called in and said, should I sell my business? And I listened to this after I had been through this experience with my father. And he said, yes, if you have something else planned. And
Sure.
that's really, I think, where it didn't turn out the way they expected, because they didn't, to your point, they didn't actually sit down and plan it. They just were like, okay, we're going to close. Here's the date. And then they just went into entrepreneur go mode, where you're like having sales, the community knows, people are coming in, this, oh, you're closing, oh, where are you going? And it was just so, there was so much activity that when they did finally close, it was like a vacuum. It just went vroom. And then they were
Okay.
like, now what? So that's.
And that's not actually all that different than sometimes people experience that. I have not gone through this because I haven't lived it, but I read about it when others happen with retirement. They plan for ending that time of employment, and then they don't necessarily plan ahead for what they're going to do with their time. And so it sounds like there were some loose ideas of travel that were happening. How can I ask this? Not everybody loves this question, but how old were they when they were going through this?
They were 70 and 72.
All right. So that's still fairly young, but it's also not necessarily hike the Grand Canyon young. So they wanted to do some travel, but they definitely had some things to consider. And so, but they were able to sell the building. I mean, they were able to close the business, and that part sounds like it went pretty much the way they wanted. How long did that process, how long was this going on?
6 months.
So the whole thing took 6 months. That's pretty fast, actually. That's fairly intense. And they had been doing this for 30 years, which is an incredible amount of time to successfully run a business, a retail store. A lot of ups and downs must have definitely happened in all of those times. So this was an enormous part of their life.
Yes, and I think that's the piece that, especially my father's wife, she didn't catch that. She kind of misunderstood how much the business was a part of her identity. And so when they closed, you know, that identity, a big chunk of her was had gone with that business.
Like how she saw herself and her value in the world and her connection, maybe even to the community, because it sounds like this was a real Main
Very
Street
much so.
store. And same for your dad. It was an adjustment for what he was going to do with his time and where he fit into his days.
Yes, and I think from what I could tell, the and again, to your point, this is my opinion, the regret was pretty instant for them.
That's what I was going to ask, is when did it become apparent to you that they were not happy skippy about what was happening in their life?
Yeah, it was immediate. I mean, I know for I spoke with my father when they were going through the pro when they made the decision to close. I spoke with my father and I was surprised by it. And I would speak with him at, because they had hired a company to come in and help them to set up, you know, some of the sales and, you know,
Okay.
some of the events. And I could already tell as my father was closing, he had resistance to it, but they had made the decision, it was happening. And, you know, he also wanted to make his wife happy and he knew that she wanted to travel and be free of the restraints of them having to be at that business.
And so the way you're telling this, it sounds like they did not execute that at all. They did no travel. They just sort of stuck. That is really interesting. And what at this point, very interestingly, you were in the process of becoming a business broker, which is
I
really
was,
interesting. Just by
yeah.
kismet, how did you decide what drew you to becoming a business broker?
So I had been running a business for 15 years with my business partner, and I decided to step out of that business. And I wanted to go and look for a business to buy. I wanted to work independently of him. We're a couple also. So we had decided that we had run our course of 15 years working together, and you know, you keep this business going, and I'm gonna go over here and look for a business to buy. So I had found a business broker and ended up getting on really well with him. And I think this story is quite common for this field. And then he said, "Hey, you'd be a really good broker. Why, instead of buying a business, why don't you help others to sell their businesses?" And so I thought that would be interesting, suit my skill set. And I went, and instead of buying something, I trained with him.
And so, what was it like to be training as a business broker, watching a part of your family go through this process without having them consult you? I feel like this is when you're cooking for a chef and you don't ask for the chef's help in making the meal. I think that, what did that feel like for you at that time when you were like, this is what I'm learning how to do, and you guys are not talking to me about this?
You know, I was respectful. And the reason being is that I had, it's funny because when they first started their business and I first came to America, they wanted me to work in that business with them and they wanted to train me. And just as they, I think, were resistant to asking for my advice at that time, I didn't want to work for them. I was like, no, gosh, I'm going to go do my own thing. So I was respectful of their decision. I did try talking to my dad and I gave him some ideas as to how he
Sure.
could sell his business, but I think at that time they just were they got into the weeds of it so quickly. They made the decision quickly, the wheels started moving quickly, and I think sometimes people make the mistake of thinking they can't stop something. They could have, but I think at the time they just felt like they had to just keep going.
Well, that's very common in business, in both startup and shutdown and things that happen. It feels like you're the caboose of the train, or like, if you've ever been a kid and you roll down a steep hill on your, it feels like it is out of, and that oftentimes that's a very good thing because that means there's momentum with what you're doing, but not if it's going in a direction you don't want. At what, so after it happens and they realize they're not happy, at that point, do you begin to be able to be more helpful and involved in what they were going through, or are they still very separate and independent?
They were still very so, I and here's another thought I just had while you asked that question, Amy, is so my dad's wife is not my mother, and I
Right.
met her when I was older, so they she didn't have children of her own, so if we would have had maybe a different dynamic where she would have had her own support system, I think she was very independent in her thinking, and it's difficult. I think if they were both my parents, I would have sat them down, but it's a different dynamic. So I don't think I answered the question, but I just wanted to share that because it's
Of course. No,
relevant.
absolutely. The comfort of how we walk. I've done several interviews where people are talking about caregiving for their aging parents. And this is not that at all, that conversation. But the shift of talking to people who raised us or people who are elders in our own family as an authority, as someone wants to help them make decisions, or even if they're not as able as they were. That's a big change in family dynamics. It's not one that's always easy to make. And all of these questions about changes in our lives as we age, whether they're health decisions or business decisions, they carry a lot of weight. These are not always easy discussions to have. So I have heard that this type of transition, specifically from baby boomer folks, is extra common right now. Like we're talking about like the shift in generations, and many, many baby boomers are, I mean, a lot of them have already retired, I think. Many are retiring. Others who are self-employed or have built businesses are aging out of the businesses and wanting to get out of them. And so I did think that this was one of the reasons that this conversation had an interesting thing, because I don't know that everybody is aware of the fact that businesses can be bought or sold, small businesses. And maybe they are, I don't know, but you are a business broker. How long have you been brokering businesses? Tell us about what you do.
So I've been doing this for a little over 2 years now, and I specialize in helping baby boomer business owners to sell their businesses to next generation buyers. And the goal with that is to keep the businesses locally or family owned. And this has obviously come from my own personal experience because I feel like in a different time and place, I could have absolutely helped my father and his wife to keep their business open, put a younger couple in there. They could have trained them, they could have mentored them. They could have also had rent for the building from the business, and they could have maintained the pride of ownership of that business. I mean, my father ended up keeping the building,
Okay.
and when he walks past the building, he's going to tell you a story about the store. So in my business brokerage practice, that's what I'm specializing in. And a successful story is where I helped a gentleman who was 80, helped him and his wife to sell his business, and to those exact type of buyers. The couple were in their 50s. And it took us a long time to find them, but it was very fulfilling for the owners to hand over the keys to another couple.
Very interesting. How much do you and your dad talk about? So it's only been a couple of years since this happened, but how much do you and your dad talk about this these days? Have you ever talked about what the options would have been? I guess probably not, but do you ever
We
talk
no,
about it?
we have. Yeah,
Okay.
we have. We did talk about it. I think we talked about it over a bottle of wine. You know, just because my dad, he realizes now, he's like, gosh, when I've sat him down as I mean, we talked about it and then we don't talk about it anymore because of course now then you're just looking back. But I
Right.
did explain to him, like, Dad, this is what you could have done. It wouldn't have been that difficult. But unfortunately, you know, they chose not to. So we did have that conversation one time.
Do you have a theory as a person why they or other business owners may not have thought about that? Like why they went directly into what they thought they should do? I mean, maybe that's not a good question, but what are the reasons people don't consider working with somebody to sell the business?
So there are two things that I see. So one is, let's just say there are two types of people that do work with someone, and there will be some, there are some business owners that will be, I'm referencing the older business owner, the baby boomer. Some will be successful and some won't. And the ones that are successful are the ones that plan. And unfortunately, it's hard to convince a business owner, hey, you know, if you want to retire at 75, you probably should start making plans at 70. This is going to take a long time because,
Okay.
you know, the business is, you have to, one of the things we never do, I never did this when I had my engineering business. We don't go and get valuations done
No.
annually. We like bang our head against the wall and we have to do our taxes. And then we just want to make sure that we're paying as little tax as possible. And, you know, this repetitive process doesn't help you. You're doing nothing to prepare to sell. So, the gentleman that I referenced that we successfully sold, I spoke to him recently. He's been retired now for 6 months. And it took us a year and a half to sell his business. And it was a really good business. It had a ton of free cash flow, it had employees. So I asked him, I said, what would you tell? Because he's obviously had the opposite outcome to my father,
Sure.
right? So I said, you know, what advice would you give to other business owners in your situation? And he said, okay, first of all, it's going to take you a really long time to sell the business. That's fine. He said, but it's going to take even longer than that because once you sell the business, then you have to manage your life. There's an extended period, and I never thought of this. So this gentleman sold his business and then he wanted to relocate. So he sold his house. He had to buy another house. He's moving closer to family. He said, so we had the year and a half to sell the business, but then we had another 6 months to a year to kind of reorganize our life into retirement. So
Yep.
it's really like a 2.5 to 3 year process at best. And then the people that tend to not successfully sell or maybe not work with a professional, Amy, are the ones who just aren't planning.
Right.
They're more
Or
reactionary, you know, and that's what my dad falls
yes.
into.
And your dad and his wife were actually, they were being intentional about it because I've heard several stories. The reaction is spurred by something negative that happened, something unexpected that happens, which is a story I think we hear a lot. And family-owned businesses. So that is very interesting. So then, before we wrap up on this topic, do you have you're young and you're building this business, but do you already have an exit plan? Like, is this something you think about for yourself, or is this something that more works for brick and mortar stores?
So, I don't, well, actually, I have given this some thought. So, my goal is with my business. So, my business is called Sure Step Business Advisors, and we're a boutique business brokerage firm. We're fully digital. I'm going to grow this business. And then, but I have a 10-year plan, and there's loads of talk these days, probably in my generation, I'm the Gen X,
Yeah, me
about
too.
egg. Yeah, there's talk about exits. Like you'll see people saying, I've done two exits already. I'm not going to do that. I want to build a business that I'm going to build a business that can stay in place. I know my stepdaughter won't want anything to do with it, but you know, I've started to think about the responsibility that we have to leave the next generation in better shape. You know, or at least have something to hand on to them education wise. You know, she's going to school to be, she wants to be a vet. She's just started going to school for that. So I think I'm going to build up my business brokerage practice, and then eventually I would like to sort of start acquiring some businesses and build
And
a
be
nice
the
little portfolio for myself. And then, so those two businesses can line up and I don't have to be in a big hurry. I can take the 10 years, I can build a solid foundation. And then as she matures, I'm going to bring her in to
She
the
doesn't know this
fold.
yet. She doesn't.
She
She
doesn't
doesn't know that she's a part of the
know.
portfolio.
No, she doesn't know yet. We'll do this together.
Very interesting. Okay, so you mentioned it, but I want to give you a chance to tell people exactly how they can find you online and the name of the business again.
Okay, so the name of the business is Sure Step Business Advisors. And you can actually, if you just put my name into Google, Colette Kemp, I'm very active on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter and Instagram. And I have a unique enough name that I will come up. So I would love to connect on social media. You can check out the website. And I do have some tools available for business owners if they want to kind of see where they're at in the process of being ready to sell or not. It's the thing that's important as we wrap up, Amy, is that I think more than anything is your mindset. It's just, it's especially for somebody that's older, it's going to be really emotional regardless. So,
Yeah.
maybe you can look up some of the tools I have and they could be helpful.
Well, excellent segue because you do have a special offer for the audience, which is a self-assessment that is free to use. 12 questions takes just only 60 seconds and you get instant results. And that is a very good offer for the audience, some of whom will definitely be business owners or be curious about it, or have family members that are in business. I think that one of the things is that running a business, running a you, 30 years your dad ran a business, and it's a lot of work day in and day out. You mentioned that he was tied to the store. Anybody who's even worked in a retail establishment can be sensitive to the fact that you're the one that opens the door, you close the door, if somebody else is sick, you step in and show up. So I think that that's it's definitely a thing. But 12 questions. There's a link for that in the show notes. It's a generous offer. Thank you very much. For people who are listening in the audience, if they want the self-assessment and you're driving around for a walk, don't worry about it. It's in the show notes. But the best way to do that is to sign up for the Imperfect Adulting email community. And then I send all of this directly to your inbox. You just click on it. It's super easy. You also get notifications when there are new episodes and links to everything that is mentioned. Find that at imperfectadulting.com. Yay! Now it is time, Colette, for the rapid fire questions. These are just for fun. I ask you the
Okay.
questions, you say what comes top of mind. Do you have a favorite late night snack, and would you share with us what it is?
Oh, it's really boring. It's not a snack. I have hot water with lemon.
Hot water with lemon at night.
Yeah.
That I always see that being pushed as like an early
That
morning
bad?
start. No, I don't know anything about it, but I see a lot of times I get like an ad on social media. It's like hot water with lemon early in the morning will change your life and cure everything that's wrong with you and fix the world. But I'm a big person with lemon in my water also, but I just squeeze it into my ice water. So that is it's not yeah. So that's a good one. I like it. Have you ever had a terrible photo taken of you? And can you think of a particularly bad or embarrassing photo that is out there floating around of you?
Yes. So I think I was born with a lazy eye. And for some reason, every time my husband takes a picture of me, he catches it. And so he has this one picture of like his daughter's first day of school. And my eye was looking off this way. And he just kindly sends that to me every now and again. And I'm sure it's around somewhere for people to enjoy.
He sends it to you just to remind you of the unflattering photo. He's like, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. That is really good. All right, so here we go. Last one. Would you rather go to a music festival, visit an art museum, or go out to dinner at a Michelin star restaurant for an extravagant meal? Which of those sounds more fun to you?
Oh, definitely the restaurant, the Michelin star
Definitely the
restaurant.
restaurant. All right, very good. That's it, Colette Kemp. Thank you for being such a wonderful guest today on the show.
Was so much fun, Amy. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.